Romans 12 for just a few minutes this morning. I know we're tired, and you are. I promise you, I still am. So let's look here for just a moment. I let you remain seated. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you just one more time for just a moment to ask you, Lord, that you would help us. We're thankful for each of these testimonies. Lord, the different ways that you've been bragged upon and the things that you have done, the Lord prayers you've answered and the bodies that you've touched and the healing that you've granted, the ways, Lord, that we have been able to magnify the things that you've done even this week. Lord, we're thankful and recognize in prayer this morning we owe it all to God. We owe it all to our Lord Jesus. We owe it all, Lord, to you. You said in your word, without you we could do nothing. And Lord, this morning we confess that in prayer. And so, Lord, anything that's been done this week and anything that'll be done today, Lord, it'll be for your honor and your glory, and it'll be because you've done it. And I pray now this morning that you'd help us, Lord, as we try to, study round truth again today. Would you, Lord, please have your very, very perfect way this morning among us. Lord, we have just one truth we want to get to. And Lord, I pray that that truth, Lord, would flood our soul and cause us, Lord, to worship and praise the name of the Lord. And Lord, just even beyond this service in hours and days and Lord, the time we have left in this world, that we would seek for our life, Lord, the very will of God, and live it out and follow it at every turn. And all that you do for us, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. According to how this chapter begins, we said on last Sunday night and drew attention to it, that Paul is very clearly writing to the saved. He'll use the word here in verse number 1, brethren. That is a family of God term. And we are brothers and sisters in the faith. The particular subject matter that he has in mind in writing to the saved concerns the will of God, as is mentioned in verse number 2. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we understand the will of God today, that involves even the sinner today. God is not willing, the Bible said, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the will of God for every sinner is that all men would be saved. That's the will of God. Now, all are not going to be saved. All are not saved today, and all are not going to be saved today. And all will not be saved before they leave this life, but it is the will of God. And God would have every man to be saved. He loves the world. He loves sinners in particular. And the will of God is that none would perish. None would go to hell. None would spend an eternity without God. And that all sinners would have, through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, an experience of salvation that can only come by way of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved, because that's the will of God for your life. That's what God desires, and that's what God wants for you. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to live void of a relationship with God. You can be saved, because that is the will of God. And so we understand, and multitudes of messages have been and could be preached over and again today about the will of God in the life of sinners. But the will of God that is before us this morning in this text, again, it deals with the brethren. It deals with those that are saved. It deals with those who know God, those who have been brought from death to life, have been saved out of hell and judgment that is to come, to heaven and the joys that await the child of God through salvation in Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, I'm writing to the brethren about the will of God. And we got to understand the will of God and what it is. If we was to define it and put a meaning upon that, the will of God means the determination, the choice, the purpose, the decree, and the inclination of God for your life as His child. When Paul said, I want you to prove the will of God as saved people, as brothers and sisters of the household of faith, he is saying, I want you to get to the place in your life where you are not living your life according to your own will or the will of the flesh or the will of other men or the will of Satan, but living your life in the will of God. Allowing God to determine what you're going to be. Allow God to determine what you're going to do. Allow God to determine where you're going to live. Allow God to determine how you serve the Lord. Let God make the choices that need to be made in your life. I understand we all have choice, and when choice comes, consequence. But I have never regretted any decision I've ever made when I've let God make the decision for me. And this is what Paul has in mind when we think about the will of God in the life of a saved man, in the life of a saved woman. It is allowing the determination, the choice, the purpose, the plan, the decree, and the inclination that God has for your life to be lived out on a daily basis. In the text, we understand that Paul is going to declare here what the will of God is. He says, first of all, the will of God is that is good. That is good. And from that, for outline's sake, we say that the will of God is profitable in the life of a child of God. Good, it means literally best. We think about good in terms of good, better, and best, but in your King James Bible, good is more oftentimes than not used as an opposing word to describe something opposite of evil or something opposite of bad, and really declaring and setting forth something that is the very best. May I say this morning again that God's will is best for our life. It is what is profitable to you and to me. I've never found what is best choosing for myself. I've never found what is good following the things the world tries to lead my life into doing or to being. But in the will of God, I found the will of God to be profitable in my life. And then it brings about the very, very, very best that we could ever hope to have. A will of God is not only profitable in the life of the child of God, it's pleasurable to the life of the child of God. He said that the will of God, he said it is good, and then he said, and acceptable. And acceptable, the word acceptable literally means pleasure. Are pleasurable, and we think about the will of God when we do it, when we find it, when we follow it, then it brings pleasure, no doubt, to our Father that is in heaven. He is pleased when we live in His will. But we also understand very practically in our life that the will of God brings about a lot of pleasure to you and I's life as we yield to it. We understand this does not mean the will of God will never lead us to suffer. The will of God may lead you to suffer. It may, in fact, lead to great affliction and hardship in your life. But the pleasure is not derived from what is going on in the will of God around us, but what is going on within us as we live out the will of God. And it becomes something that is acceptable to you and I, and something that derives pleasure to you and I think about the will of God and it being a pleasure in the life and the child of God versus the pleasures of sin that mankind so often seem to chase. And the Bible did say there is pleasure in sin, and there is, let's be honest about it. The world last night experienced a great, great deal of pleasure on the dance floors and in the honky-tonks and in the bar stools and in all the activities that went on behind the scenes in secret places. There was a lot of pleasure that the world lived in sin. The Word of God has said there's only pleasure in sin for a season. And the pleasure that mankind experiences in sin and in the world and chasing the things that the flesh would desire today, those things are but for a moment. They're only for a night or two, and then they lead to regret and they lead to so many things that just leave the human heart and the human soul empty on the inside. But those that do the will of God, they have found a pleasure in the will of God. That my friend, it lasts and it endures and it abides. That's what Sister Abedin was testifying about a moment ago, about through all the years she's been saved. I wouldn't have said it. She's the one that's talked about the older years of her life and the faithfulness of God and serving God. And then she's glad the Lord can still use her life. That tells me she knows something about the pleasurableness of living your life in the will of God. It never wanes. It never fades out. Time and seasons and things do not lighten that pleasure, but that pleasure just grows and grows. And the will of God, it is pleasurable in the life of God's children. The will of God, it is perfect in the life of God's children. Paul said it is good, it is acceptable, and he said it is perfect. And perfect simply would imply that to you and I that there is no fault and there is no flaw or failure in the will of God. And so we made the statement last week, inside the will of God, there is no failure. You cannot fail in the will of God, and God's will never fail you as you embrace it. And as you live it out, God has never failed anyone. His will has never failed anyone. And in the will of God, there is no failure. God is not going to fail you, my friend, in the will of God. It may look like you're failing. It may look like you're floundering around. It may look like that success seems so far away. But if you're in the will of God this morning, it is perfect, and there is no failure in the will of God. But we also must understand the flip side of that is true. And outside of the will of God, there is no success. You as a child of God, you can choose to live in the will of God or out of the will of God. In the will of God, it is perfect. It'll be perfect in your life. But outside the will of God, it may look like you may try to present like you've succeeded. But we will always fail outside of the will of God. I'm telling you, I want to live my life in the will of God. Amen. Because there is something that is perfect. I ain't perfect and you ain't perfect today. And we never will be this side of glory. Are you listening? We are trying and we are aiming and we are shooting for that. But buddy, I'm telling you, I've fallen and I've found around. And I'm not always what I ought to be. But I've found in the will of God, that will of God is always perfect. And it always assists us and propels us and gives us great success in our Christian journey. Yes, the will of God in the life of God's children, it is something that is profitable. It is something that is pleasurable. It is something that is perfect. But Paul says here this morning again that the will of God in the life of God's children is to be proven. And that brings us to our thought as we're dealing with proving the will of God. Here's what he said in the verse. He said, proving. Rather that you may prove. What is that? And then he gives the descriptions of good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we are to be proving the will of God, simply meaning to discern, to distinguish and to prove of. And so Paul said, as a child of God, mark it down. It never changes. The will of God is good and it's acceptable and it's perfect. And in it you will not fail, and in it you will always succeed. But your responsibility as a child of God is that you may prove the will of God in your life. You've got to be able to discern it. You've got to be able to distinguish it. You've got to come to a place in your life where you approve of carrying the notion that that you regard the will of God as a worthy thing, that to do the will of God, no matter what it may cost you, no matter where it may take you, no matter what it takes out of your life or what it puts in your life, that the will of God is always worth it. Have you proved the will of God in your life? Can you discern it? Can you tell what path that you ought to go in and down? Can you distinguish God's will from the will of anything else that is calling you to some journey or some path or some thing or some relationship today? Can you in your world and in your heart prove out the will of God in your life? And I say this morning, the will of God is always worth it. I'm glad the Lord has led me and showed me through His Word how that I might prove the will of God for my life. And by the way, let me say this morning, and I understand the language we use sometimes. I'm seeking the will of God. I'm trying to find the will of God. And I want to make a statement today when it comes to this matter of proving the will of God. This really drives home the point that we must understand, and that is that the will of God is not as much found as it is followed. Amen. You've got to be careful living your life in the mindset of I've got to find, and wring your hands, I've got to find the will of God. I'm seeking the will of God. And there is an element of that where it's okay. But listen, the will of God is not known so much in finding it as it is in following it. If you have a mindset that I'll do the will of God no matter what it costs me, God will make sure you live your life in the will of God. If you have a submissive spirit about your life today, that you will do the will of God as it has been revealed and shown and declared and proven to you today, then my friend, God will make sure on tomorrow, amen, He reveals it again to you. And so don't be living your life wringing your hands. What am I to do? How am I to deal with this? What is the will of God? And living your life in fear and in dread over finding and missing the will of God. Just do today what you know to be the will of God today, and God will unfold the rest on tomorrow. Amen. But if you're not interested in the will of God, you'll never do it. Listen, you not only will never do it, you will never be able to prove it in your life. Amen. Amen. God's will only be proven to those who have a heart to do it if God reveals it to them. Amen. And I'm telling you, in the will of God, it's cost me relationships. It's cost me friendships. It's cost me, amen, it's cost me money. It's cost me, amen, all sorts of things in this world. But can I say I'm glad the Lord has taught me, amen, how to prove the will of God, that at proving it will be known, it will be done, it will be discerned, distinguished, and counted worth it as I just follow what I know to be the will of God today. Amen. And so I believe when we think about what Paul said, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that there are at least five ways the will of God may be proven in our Christian life, connected around these verses and centering it upon proving the will of God. Last Sunday night, I gave you the first one. We just simply said in verse 1, where all of this started, that part of proving the will of God in our life is done through the exhortation of your pastor. Paul begins this whole subject saying, I beseech you. The man of God is crying out to those that he has a burden for, that they would live their life in the will of God. And so in the word beseech, he is saying, I'm calling you near. I'm calling aloud and directly to you. It means to urge on and to incite by word. And so Paul is saying, I, as your man of God, I, preaching to you through written page, I am beckoning you that you might prove the will of God in your life. And we understand the man of God has not given us to tell us what the will of God is. We believe in the priesthood of every believer. If you're of the brethren, if you're a sister in the household of God, then my friend, God has put his Holy Ghost in you. And the Spirit of God leads you and guides you not only into all truth, but is going to lead you and guide you in the will of God. Amen. When Paul said, I beseech you, and we draw this principle that the exhortation of our pastor is vital to us proving the will of God, what we're saying is that not that he is to dictate the will of God for you, that he is a source of encouraging you to do the will of God. Amen. Through his preaching and the truths that God lays upon his heart to communicate to you, there will be things you hear that maybe you're praying about, and things you're questioning, and directions that your life is going to be set. And through the preaching of the man of God, you'll find exactly what you need to hear, that your life can be governed in the will of God. Amen. I not only have no desire to tell you what the will of God is for your life, personally, I ain't spiritual enough, amen, to tell you what the will of God is for your life. Amen. That's right. I can tell you what the will of God ain't for your life. If you're going to go outside this book, I can say, well, God said right here, amen, you ain't supposed to do this, and you getting ready to do it. The will of God is you live your life in the will of God. Amen. But I have no desire, nor am I, nor is any man spiritual enough to be able to know the will of God for anyone more than himself. Amen. As a pastor, I have people. And this kind of a negative illustration, but it'll drive the point home. Anyway, I've had people through 24 years, near 25 years of pastoring. They'll come and say, we need to talk to you, and they'll begin to explain, we're going to leave the church. And my question to them every time is always, is this the will of God? So, preacher, is it the will of God? Do you think it's the will of God? It doesn't matter what I think. Brother Carl, when they say it's the will of God, we leave. I'm telling you how serious I am about this. That is a line drawn that I, even as a man of God, will not violate in somebody's life. Are you listening? Now, a lot of people, and I'll tell them, don't you play games with the will of God. And I'm convinced of this. As a lot of people told me, it's the will of God, that it bore out before it was over, they was getting out of the will of God. But a man of God is there to encourage you in the will of God, to preach to you that book, to show you the way of God, and to give you opportunity to hear truth and to know how to build your life around the will of God. And you're never, I said it on last Sunday night, but you're never going to prove the will of God if you are not allowing the man of God to call you near, if you're not close to the preacher. Not again, and I hate to keep telling you what I'm not saying, trying to get to what I am saying. Not that he can dictate the will of God, but there's something about that connection of pew and pulpit and pastor and people that is vital in our life to being able to prove the will of God. Amen. Asking the man of God to help you pray. Amen. Preacher, I'm thinking about this. Amen. I'm thinking about marrying this person. What do you think? Would you help me pray? I'm thinking about taking this job. What do you think? Would you help me pray? Pastor, I'm thinking about making a move, wouldn't you? And you'd be amazed through the years I've watched folk make decisions about who they're going to marry and never consult the man of God. Never. I've seen people take jobs and never ask the pastor. I don't know why I'm bogging back down here. Never ask the preacher to pray. Never ask the preacher talk to him about it. And what does the Bible say? If you got any counsel? Again, we're not talking about a man of God denying you to work where you feel led to work. But you would think that at God giving a man of God and a pastor to a church and a congregation that people would realize the advantage you have by maintaining a relationship to the man of God about these decisions in the will of God. Amen. So I don't like that. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Yeah, and you're going to live the rest of your days outside of the will of God, suffering and in a mess, because there is something about I beseech you that you got to have to prove the will of God. Amen. Well, number two, let me give this to you quickly again in verse number one. I beseech you therefore, brethren, the exhortation of your pastor. Number two, consider the motivation of our will by the mercies of God. He knows where he's getting ready to get. He knows that he's getting ready to challenge them about proving the will of God, about doing the will of God and following the will of God, discerning the will of God, counting the will of God to be a worthwhile place to live your life, no matter where that takes you, no matter what that means. And off the get-go, Brother Addy, even before that Paul is going to get to the heart of the matter, the will of God, he reminds them of the mercies of God in their life. I want to tell you this morning at the will of God, listen to me, the will of God today, it is not coercion, it is not force, it is not guilt trip, it is not dread that motivates the child of God to do and to be and to live God's will, but rather the motivation to do that and to be in it, it has to be the mercies of God. This morning, there are people that they're in a grievance in their heart because there's a man of God, and God has given his word, and God has given the Holy Ghost, and God has given the church of the living God to be a source of promoting the will of God in our life. And many today, they feel like they're being guilt-tripped. They feel like they're being coerced. They feel like they're being forced to do things that really is not even in their heart to want to do in the first place. Amen. You know why? Because they have bypassed the greatest motivation that a child of God can have to surrender ourselves to the will of God. And that is to look back in your past and see all the days the mercy of God has been there. I mean, to look back and see all them days that you lived lost, all those days your life was in sin, that on a crash course to hell, and yet God kept you alive, and God put some mercy in your life, and God kept you from, mad friend, getting your brains beat out of your head, and God was there making sure that through all the foolishness you were rescued and spared and delivered, amen, and all the mercy that God bestowed upon our life, that hour we first believed and we first heard, and my friend, we was brought to the saving knowledge and the truth of the gospel in our life, that mercy met us when we bowed on our knee and said, Lord, I'm a sinner, be merciful unto me. I'm just a sinner, I deserve hell, I deserve judgment.
judgment. I deserve abandonment. I thank God mercy met us where we were. Amen. All the times in mercy has been there. Since that glorious day of our new birth, and God has bestowed mercy, I would remind you it is of the Lord's mercy. And Jeremiah said, we are not consumed. And Paul said that we, my friend, find mercy at the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace, find help in need. Every prayer's ever been answered. There was mercy involved in that. Every day God put food on your table, and my friend, kept clothes on your back. That was the mercies of God at work in your life. But David said it this way. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. His mercy, the psalmist, all the psalms declare over and again that the mercy of the Lord endures to every generation. The mercy of God is abundant, and the mercy of God is absolutely free, and the mercy of God, my friend, is available, and the mercy of God, thank God, my friend, has been all around us throughout the course of our life. Amen. Paul said, here's how you prove the will of God in your life. Begin to see how good that God has been to you in His mercy. Amen. Think back to all the ways mercy has been real in your life. I think about all them days I lived my life, the foolishness I did behind my parents' back. Amen. Before I got saved and different stupid things we done. And I'm telling you, it's a wonder. It's a wonder. It's a wonder I even live. Amen. To get the age of 17. And get saved by the grace of God. And I think back to all them days I run around with teenage buddies drunk, and they were driving and swerving over the road. I think back to those days. I'm not taking any joy in this. I certainly ain't bragging on it. It was stupid. Amen. It's stupid when I done it. It's stupid when this generation does it. When we lean over them gas cans and them four-wheelers, and all night long just huff gasoline fumes to get high. I'm telling you, I know youngins who have died doing that, and yet God in His mercy kept me going. All those days, I'm talking about all them days I was driving way too fast, like a bunch of idiots do, and swerving all over the place trying to show off how God kept me alive. I even threw cars crashes, and God's mercy was there, watching over me and keeping me alive. And I'm telling you, I can't help but think back on all that and see that now I'm saved, and now, my friend, I'm on my way to glory. And God was so good in even those days before I knew Him to be merciful. How in the world could I dare look at Him and say, I'm not interested in knowing and doing Your will? After as good as He's been to you. Amen. Paul said it's by the mercies of God. And if you can count the mercy of God in your life, and you can observe it, and you can acknowledge it, and it does not motivate your will to bow to the knee of Almighty God, and my friend, nothing else will. I can browbeat you, I can guilt trip you, your mom and daddy can force you for a little while, and all of that, one of these days it'll come to an end, until you realize that it is only by the mercy of God that you'll truly be motivated to do God's will. Preacher, why do you still preach? You've been stabbed in the back and done wrong and lied on and all of that. Why do you do that? Because it's the will of God for my life. Preacher, it would look like all that you've been through that sooner or later it'd get more discouraging than it is encouraging. And I'll tell you this morning, there has been some bad days. And there's been some long, hard seasons of life. But I'm telling you, the mercy of God has been there all the way. I can't quit the will of God. I can't get out of the will of God. I can't live my life another way. I am motivated in my will because of God's mercies in my life. Amen. It's personal mercy. Amen. Personal mercy. I'm not talking about the mercy that your mom and daddy's experienced. I'm talking about, have you had, can you see mercy in your life? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Amen. The only thing that's going to motivate you is not me telling you about mercy in my life, but when you can call up from your mind the mercy of God in your life, you'll be motivated to do the will of God. They're personal mercies. They're plural mercies. He didn't say, I beseech you by the mercy of God. It is the mercies, I-E-S. All the mercies, all the times God has given you mercy. This morning, I suppose, if we one by one stood up and began, if we could just recall the things and the mercies that we could remember, not counting the ones that we've forgotten, just the ones we could remember. But Gerald, we'd be here till evening service tonight talking about all the plural ways God has been merciful to us. Amen. They're personal. Thank God they're plural. They're powerful mercies. I'm talking about there have been times that in my life, I'm telling you, there was no way. There was no way, but mercy made a way. Mercy has been powerful in my life. The mercy of God has overrode the statistics. Glory to God. Amen. I know you're tired. I'm tired, or we'd be shouting, climbing the walls right now. I can't tell you, Brother Mo, how many times the mercy of God has overrode the statistics. Statistically speaking, we ought not be here today. How do you explain it? The mercies of God. Oh, they propelled me. They, thank God, have been faithful in my life to what Aberdeen testified about. The faithfulness of God, His mercies. Jeremiah would say they are new every morning. That they're like the dew. They're like the fresh dew on the ground. Every morning there's mercy. Every morning there's abundance of mercy, and it's powerful. And no more you can walk across the ground in the morning. Walk across your yard tomorrow morning without having the evidence of the dew dripping off of your feet. My friend, you cannot live your life as a child of God. Each and every day there is evidence of the mercy of God dripping off of you. Amen. It's new and it's fresh. It's personal. It's powerful. It's plural. And Paul said it's by the mercies of God that I urge you, that I call out of you to do the will of God in your life. Amen. Are you in the will of God today? Let me ask this, and I'm done. Amen. How about that? It's only 1146, not 1246, 1146. Amen. I want to ask it a little different way. Are you even concerned about doing the will of God today? Are you even concerned about doing the will of God? If the will of God meant you giving up something, if the will of God, I'll never forget. I'm gonna give invitation. I feel like the Lord just hit something in somebody's heart. Do you even have a desire to do the will of God? I remember, Brother Riley, when God began to deal with me about preaching. I didn't want to preach because I grew up in a preacher's home. I had no interest in preaching. I was saved. And I had a desire to do the will of God. But when God began to deal with me about preaching, there was a line I had drawn right there. And I knew what God was dealing with my heart about. I began to resist that. And I'd go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'll do anything. Lord, I'll do anything. Just please don't make me preach. I don't want to preach. I knew what God was leading in. Brother Patrick, I knew that the will of God for my life meant me having to do something that I didn't really want to do, but I wanted to do the will of God. And the will of God was for me to do something. Am I confusing anybody? I wanted to do the will of God, which was to do something I didn't even want to do. So I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't preach, but I had to, because it's what God wanted me to do. And so why am I preaching even all these years later? Because of the mercy of God that has motivated my life. My desire to do the will of God was greater than my lack of desire was to do what God was asking me to do. And everybody look up here. I'm as happy preaching this morning as a hog in slop, they'd say. That's how happy I am to be in the will of God today. I love preaching. I mean, I went from saying, Lord, I'll do anything but preach. How many of y'all heard Brother Wesley's message on Wednesday morning, let me run? Let me run. I've been saying for 28 years, Lord, let me run. Let me preach. Let me tell. I went from saying, Lord, anything but preaching to understanding the will of God. I don't get to dictate to God what the will of God is. I have to surrender and yield to it. And in doing so, you know what I found? God brought me way out of my comfort zone and way out of my lack of desire. And now there is such a desire to preach, I'm having a hard time stopping this morning. Somebody help me. Amen. I feel dead and y'all look dead and I'm still loving preaching so much I still don't want to stop. Amen. Are y'all listening? Amen. I'm talking about, do you have a desire to do the will of God? When's the last time you went to the Lord and said, and by the way, it ought to be daily. Every time we pray, here's what Jesus said you're to be praying. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. There have been times, Sister Candy, I thought I was in the will of God or thought I was getting ready to do the will of God. And just by having a desire to say, Lord, I want to be in your will. I don't want to miss it. Whatever it is, God has revealed to me. Sometimes, Brother Mark, I was about to make the biggest mistake of my life. You know what I'm thankful for today? I've learned how to prove the will of God. Do you have a desire to do it? How can you look around at how good and merciful God has been to you and not be motivated to get on your knee and say, I want to know and I want to do the will of God for my life. I believe that's right. We're standing. We're standing all over the sanctuary. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for liberty to preach.